What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Day 63 of A Disciple of Christ, A Season of Commitment. Today's devotion is titled, Life's Greatest Treasure. Someone once said, being a disciple of Christ is life's greatest treasure. But to experience the same joy as the man in the field, we have to recognize the highest value of a growing relationship with Jesus. Our text for today is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 52. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. These brief parables somewhat mirror those found in Matthew 13, verses 31 through 33, yet their emphasis lies on the unexpected worth of the kingdom of heaven. They respond to two interrelated questions posed by the surrounding context. First, why should we dedicate our lives to a kingdom that remains invisible? Second, can this kingdom genuinely provide the ultimate satisfaction we seek? The first parable involves treasures found in a field. It is of such great value that everything else is sold to purchase the field and inherit the treasure. In a time without banks, people often hid their treasures on their property. When an opposing army approached, families would hide everything of value in the ground, so as not to lose their belongings to an enemy. When the landowners lost their lives in a battle, the treasure was not known to future landowners. The point of this parable is that the value of God's kingdom is also unnoticed by many people. Yet when people recognize the treasure of being in a relationship with God, they discover the ultimate value of God's reign over their hearts. In verses 45 and 46, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a pearl of great value. Again, the emphasis is on the supreme worth of God's kingdom. A relationship with God is a priority so superior to anything else in life that it merits any sacrifice required. The third parable involves a fishing net. The opportunity to be in God's kingdom is offered to all kinds of people, both good and bad. The sorting of the fish symbolizes the final judgment. At the end of time, there will be a separation between the righteous and the wicked. This parable also impacts a sense. This parable also imparts a sense of urgency. Just as the fishermen quickly sort the catch, the time for deciding about one's acceptance or rejection of the kingdom is limited. While the parable highlights the separation of the saved and the lost, it reassures the faithful that they will be rewarded. Michael Wilkins explains the significance of Jesus' question, followed by a final parable found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 51 and 52. Jesus asked them, "Have you understood all these things?" As a climax to the entire discourse, Jesus has in mind their understanding of both explained and unexplained parables, which implies their understanding of the secrets of the kingdom. Jesus responds to their affirmative reply with a parable about their present privileged status and their future role. "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Interestingly, Jesus uses the same word for instruction that he shared in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20 for the word disciple. Thus, Matthew 13, 52 can be rendered, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Wilkins adds the following: "Since Jesus is speaking to disciples here about the consequence of their understanding, he now likens them to teachers of the law, who are in turn likened to owners of a house. Jesus extends the metaphor here to indicate that the householder brings from his treasure box both new and old things. He does not do so simply to gawk at his wealth, but to dispense it for the benefit of others. The contrast is thus drawn between the teachers of the law within Judaism and the disciples of Jesus. The Torah-trained teachers of the law studied under great rabbis and passed on their traditions and interpretations. But all those who have become disciples of the kingdom of heaven have Jesus alone as their teacher, and they will, in turn, faithfully pass on to others what Jesus has taught them." This marks an important development in the disciples' training for their future role throughout the ages. In the same way that Jesus has developed them, they are to make disciples of all the nations and teach these new disciples all that they have been taught by Jesus. Jesus' disciples are to give close attention to the priority of the kingdom in their lives so that they may continue to be the treasure of Jesus' revelation to a watching world. Every disciple of Jesus inherits the greatest treasure, a growing relationship with their Lord. By maturing as a disciple of Christ, you also share this supreme treasure to the world. Those two truths alone are worth continual seasons of commitment. Some questions to consider. How do Jesus' parables, found in today's scripture, challenge you to view a relationship with God as more valuable than anything this world has to offer? In what ways are your personal discipleship and making disciples of others life's two greatest treasures? And finally, what have you learned during these last 63 days that will encourage you to stay committed to becoming a disciple of Christ. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day.